Right, if we can turn to the book of Luke tonight, Luke chapter 4. We continue to make our way through the book of Luke, Luke chapter 4. And tonight we're going to be looking at verses 31 through 37. So Luke chapter 4 and verses 31 through 37. And because there's not too many verses, let's read them together. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 31 and down to and including verse 37. So start reading there in verse 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and bless you again for our time tonight. As we've already said, Lord, we want you to have all the praise and the glory and honour as we've sung tonight, Lord. What a wonderful salvation we have. And Father, now as we look into your word in this particular passage tonight, Lord, may it be food and drink for our souls. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 31, again, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Now, those who were with us when we were looking at the previous verses, the Lord Jesus, he'd been baptized, he'd been down in the wilderness, he'd come back out after the tests there with the devil. He'd gone down into Galilee and then down to Nazareth. And in Nazareth, he'd opened up the scriptures in Isaiah chapter 61, he'd preached there, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, the people heard it. But ultimately, the Bible tells us there in verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong, but he passing through the midst of them went his way. Those people were an example of other people down through the years. When they hear the word of God, they're not always saying, Amen, praise the Lord. Some of them get cranky with it. They'll get mad with you. And they did with the Lord Jesus, and they wanted to kill him, but he passed through. And now the Bible says there again in verse 31, he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he taught them on the Sabbaths. So he's continuing on with his teaching ministry. So that's what he'd been called to do, to go to the various parts of Israel, to the lost sheep of Israel. The Bible says there in verse 32, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Now keep your hand there, but have a look in Mark chapter 1 and verse 22, the same incident, Mark chapter 1. And just to see how Mark expressed it in Mark chapter 1, and in verse 22, notice what it says there in Mark, and they were astonished at his doctrine, same idea, for he taught them as one that had authority, and notice what it says, and not as the scribes. Not as the scribes. They were amazed at his teaching. They were astonished at his doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. Sometimes we get this idea, this doctrine, at some, oh, doctrine, some amazing word. Doctrine merely means teaching, all right? So when we talk about the doctrines and hold up the doctrines, then it's holding up the teaching of the Word of God. It's not some, you know, wonderful whatever people might think it is. It's just merely, and I say merely very carefully, very guardedly, the teaching of the Word of God. or the preaching of the word of God. But they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. As we saw in Mark, they said, this is amazing. This is just not like the scribes. I mean, we're here every Sabbath and we listen to the scribes and it's like, really? Boring. Ugh. But you have to be there because that's what you do. And it did nothing for them spiritually. A lot of places like that today. So he was teaching the word of God, not the traditions of men. Okay? It's important to emphasize that because we find in our day and age there's a lot of so-called preaching and teaching was not really the preaching and teaching of the word of God. It's tickling men's ears and so forth. Have a look in Matthew chapter 7. Just back in Matthew now for a moment. Matthew chapter 7. Again, the same idea there, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. All right, the same idea there. He's not teaching them like men. He's not teaching them the traditions of men, as we've already stated. But not only that, it wasn't only the right doctrine that he taught, okay? They were astonished at his doctrine. Notice what it says, for his word was what? With power. It's one thing to teach or preach the word of God. It's another thing to preach it with power or with authority. Now that power authority is not from the individual, that is from the Lord himself. Amen? That's where the power lies. We know in this same chapter of Luke, in verse 1, what does it say? Jesus was what? Full of the Holy Ghost. We know that. He was full of the Holy Ghost. We have a look in verse 4, and what does the Bible say there? Again, he was what? He was saying, it is written. Okay, it is written. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's quoting the scriptures. In verse 18, where he quoted there from, as we've already mentioned, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. Now, if you're going to preach, then you need to seek God's face and you need to make sure that you're preaching the word of God, but you need to make sure you're preaching it with the power and authority of God. Amen? Otherwise, it's not going to do anything. The letter of the law kills, Paul said, but it's the Spirit who gives life. That's where the power and the authority is. It's not in the individual. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes people think you've got to be a great orator. No, no, no. You need to be speaking, teaching, and preaching with the power and authority of the Spirit of God upon your life. Remember the Apostle Paul when he was down there in Corinth and he later on wrote to them. And he said, my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but was what? Was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? So that your faith would be in God. We're not to be followers of men. We're to be followers of the Lord. Now, God uses men to preach and teach the word of God. That we're to be followers of the Lord. And so if we're going to do that, then it's not, you know, you hear some of these guys and you look at them and you think, wow, you know, I had an uncle who was a minister. He could talk. Man, he could talk. And he was lost. He wasn't even saved. But he could get people in, you know, and they'd listen to him and say, wow, you know, wow, he's a really good speaker. But he didn't preach and teach the doctrines of the Word of God. Now, he wasn't even saved, so it's impossible to do it if you're not saved. I understand that. But I think there are men who maybe are saved, but that they're not preaching and teaching the word of God with authority and power. It kind of gets watered down a little bit. We don't upset anybody. Well, he actually preached and taught the word of God, and they were amazed. You know, over the years, I've heard people say, wow, you actually preached God's word in your church. Well, I've had feedback about that. You know, I said, well, what's so surprising about that? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Like, thank God I got saved through the ministry of Brother Ian Weston and Brother Glenn Weeks through Northside Baptist Church. And so that's what you do. You preach the word. You teach the word. Why is that surprising? And I'm really thankful to God for that. Oh, my. The people say, well, you actually preach God's word, that's right, but then what? Some are a little bit like what we've already read in verse 22 and verse 28. They said, wow, grace, they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Oh, but then verse 28, what are they doing? They throw him off the cliff and get rid of him. Hang on, I thought you said it was great that he was preaching the word. Yes, but he got a little bit personal about it. He got a little bit pointed in what he was saying. No, he wasn't. He was just preaching the word. You know, that's what the word of God does. It's quick and powerful. And I've had people say to me, you've heard me say it, and I'm not here tonight to pat myself on the back. I'm here to illustrate it. A lady came to me one morning, and she said, you know what? And she was quite fine. She wasn't angry or anything else. I've had that as well. But she was quite fine. She said, you know what? She said, I thought I was the only one sitting here this morning. And she said, I thought that you must have read every email I had this week. I said, right, okay. I said, no, she said, I know you haven't. But I said, that is a facet of preaching and teaching the word of God. The Spirit of God takes the word of God and applies it to where you are as a listener or hearer. And it's amazing how God can take his word, and he's speaking to that person over there about something, but he's speaking about that person over there about something else in the same message. Why? Because it's a living word, and when the Spirit of God is involved, then he uses it to meet and teach the individual where they're at in their walk with the Lord. Amen? And so the Lord was doing that. He was teaching the word of God, the doctrines of the word of God. His doctrine was, thus saith the Lord. It's one of the wonderful things I like about the word of God. It's simple. It may be not simple to live, depending on how you try and live it. You try and live it in the flesh, it won't go too good. But it's simple. The truths are simple. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And we say, amen. And then wander around for the next 6 weeks in a mess, you know. Like, hang on, what's going on here? Doesn't the Bible say I can do all things? Doesn't the Bible say walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh? Yeah, but you don't understand. No. This is what God's word says. Now, if it's our opinion, be like, you know, having a lucky dip. Let's see what this one is. Yeah, nah, don't like that one. Don't like this one. No. The word of God. Remember what Paul... Have a look in 2 Timothy 4. We know this, but I think it's good to remind ourselves sometimes. You know, I hear enough other things around the place, but notice what Paul says to Timothy, and he's getting towards now the end of his ministry, and he's writing to Timothy, and he's getting towards the end of the race. And he says there in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Notice what he says. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine or teaching. Now, he says, now listen, Timothy, I need to tell you something here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And notice what it says next. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's what happens. That's what happens. That's what's happening today. It's something that's always happened. This was happening back in Paul's day. Jesus, what are you doing? Thus saith the Lord. Yeah, but we don't want to hear that. We want something a little bit more ear tickling. Something that makes us feel good, you know. We want to just feel good. Okay, we'll help you feel good. God loves you. Do the best you can. And he'll forgive you one day, because he's a forgiving God. You don't have to worry about that. It's all good. And we go home saying, my, that was a blessing today. I just felt so good about myself. Oh, my. Talk about itching ears and being turned unto fables. I remember talking to a man one day, and he was going to another church, and I said to him, I said, do you folk preach the gospel there? He said, oh yes, we preach the gospel there. I said, do you? He said, oh yes. I said, another question for you. When you say you preach the gospel, when they preach, do they tell people that they're lost, that they're unsaved, that they're sinners before a holy God, and that they're going to go to hell when they die if they don't repent and trust Christ as their saviour? Oh, well, I don't know whether they'd quite go to that level. I said, excuse me, I thought you said they preached the gospel. This business, you know, Jesus loves you, God loves you, Jesus died for you. If you believe it, just ask him and he'll take you to heaven one day. That sounds pretty good. There's nothing real challenging about that. Sounds a good deal. All I do is pray. Jesus, I believe in you. Could you please forgive my sin and take me to heaven one day? Amen. That's another brother. Thank you. Amen. And we put another notch in our belt. Got a whole bunch more. I wouldn't believe it. Got 20 converts last week. None of them are saved, but that's all right. Why? Because all we've done is we've tickled their ears. And we see, and I keep coming back, we see what can happen when you preach the word of God. They may want to throw you over a cliff. That may happen. It doesn't always happen that way, but it may. Why? Because the preaching of the gospel, Paul said, is an offence to men. It's an offence. Because you're going to that person and say, listen, I need to tell you something. You're not going to want to hear this. You are a sinner. That means you are lost. That means you're undone. That means if you die, you'd go to hell. Who do you think you are? Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You know, they don't want to hear it, do they? They don't want to hear it. But that's okay. They need to hear that. And not only that, when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, as Paul said to Timothy, he wasn't just talking about challenging unsaved people with the gospel. What did he say? He said, when you preach, there needs to be what? Well, there needs to be some reproving, some rebuking. What? God loves everybody. And that's why he reproves and rebukes, amen. If he wasn't a loving God, he'd just let us go. And he'd say, that's all right, guys. Catch up with you in heaven one day. No, we are to preach the word. His doctrine, the Lord Jesus' doctrine, was thus saith the Lord. When he was teaching them, he was teaching him the word of God as it is written, literally true to be believed. So in verse 33... his word was with power. Verse 33, in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. Now this man, we would say he was demon-possessed, right? That's how we put it today. We'd say he was demon-possessed. And I don't know whether you've thought about it, but here's the question. What's he doing in church? We'd call that church. What's he doing in church? He's got a demon in him. Yeah, well, what's that got to do with being in church? You know, everybody who's sitting in church is saved. We understand that. And we're not to be the judges ultimately whether they are or not, but there are some people you'd have to say, got some serious doubts. But this man, he's there, and this demon, this unclean spirit, cries out with a loud voice. Here they are, they're in the middle of the service, I'll put it that way, and this fella cries out, the idea has screamed out. Okay? So everything's going fine, the Lord Jesus has got the scriptures open there and he's teaching them the word of God, and then all of a sudden, this unclean devil, this demon cries out with a loud voice, let us alone! What are we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? How'd you like that in the middle of a service? Oh, my. That'll get your attention. Oh, my. Yeah, we've seen some things like that sometimes over the years. People cry out. Doesn't happen all the time, but... Oh, my. I cast my mind back a little bit this afternoon. I was thinking about this, and I thought, oh, yeah, do I remember that? I remember the day when this guy came walking in the door and he's got his Bible in his hand and he comes walking in And it was just at a point in the message where it was perfect when he did what he did. He just goes, well, and he got about down the end there, about where the chairs are, and he went bang with the Bible and threw it on the floor and said, whoa, 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 whoa. Ooh. Would you mind just sitting down there, please? And shh, be quiet. Oh my. You say, oh, is he full of a demon? I don't know, but he sure did something similar to this fellow. I remember another fellow, he came, we were sitting down the front here, and this guy came in, same thing. And he'd had a couple of drinks at least. And he came wandering in, he comes right down the front, and he stands and goes, I just want to say something. I just want to say something. You know, the pastor here. Shh, 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 shh. Come and sit, we can talk about it later. Now you say, was he demon? I don't know, but he was excited at least. So we can say, Lord, we understand what you're going through there in that sense. A little bit of an interruption to the message. What can we do? Remember the fellow who came in? You know, not everybody remember. Actually, it wasn't during the service, kind of at the end, we were sort of winding up, and this fellow came in with a knife, you know. And he, hey! Uh-oh, this could get interesting. I won't tell you the rest of the story now, but you say, what was happening there? You think that was of the devil? I think so. I think so. You say, was he demon-possessed? I don't know, but he sure acted like it. Interesting night, or interesting day, whatever it was. What does the Bible say? There was a man who had a spirit of unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. When it calls him a devil here, just by the way, there is only one devil, as in Satan. There are many devils or demons, as the word is used as well. So this man's not full of Satan. Satan, he is the devil, that's correct. But there are many devils or there are many demons, and they are all unclean spirits, all of them. And so he asked this question of the Lord Jesus, art thou come to destroy us? It's interesting, isn't it? Now they know who he is. And they know ultimately what's going to happen to them. You have a look in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. See what John wrote for us there. 1 John 3 verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Talking about someone who continues in their sin. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Notice what it says. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might do what? Destroy the works of the devil. Jesus, have you come to destroy us? They knew what the ultimate thing was going to be. They knew. The demons know. The idea of destroy. So you've come to bring it to nothing. Have you come to bring to an end for us? You have a look back in Matthew 8 again. Matthew 8. Similar sort of scenario. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Out thou come hither to, notice what it says now, to torment us before the time. Jesus, you here to torment us before the time. What's the time? The time when one day every unclean spirit will be cast into the lake of fire forever. And they will be tormented there forever and ever. Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? Jesus, have you come to destroy us? You have a look in Matthew 25. They knew what their ultimate end was. They're a lot smarter, as it were, than a lot of unsaved people in that context. But notice Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This unclean spirit knew these truths. And that's why he's saying, have you come to destroy us? Have you come to destroy us? Why? Because I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. I know who you are. It's interesting when you read all the various accounts of the Lord Jesus' interaction with demons, they all knew who he was. So how could they know? Well, I guess there's a couple of reasons at least. They all started in heaven before they became unclean spirits. They all know the word of God, let me tell you. The devil knows. We've seen that before in the temptation. He knows the word of God. They know that they're going to hell one day. They know it's a place prepared for them. They know that. They know these truths. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And notice what the Lord Jesus said in verse 35. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Would have liked to have heard him say that. Would have been impressive, I think. And there would have been, oh, it's all right. No. Remember what he was doing? He was preaching and teaching with power and authority. And he says to this unclean spirit, this demon, hold thy peace and come out of him. Oh. In other words, the idea behind that is hold your peace means be quiet and shut your mouth. That's what it means. You say, well, why is that? Well, the truth cannot be advanced by evil. It can't be. You think about Paul when he was out there and that demon-possessed girl was following him, saying, these are the real preachers of the word of God. These men preach the truth. And the Paul put up with it for a while, and then he dealt with it. Why? Imagine in people's minds, here's a demon-possessed person saying, oh, that's the truth. Who's going to believe that? Seriously, who is going to believe that? So the Lord Jesus, listen, shut your mouth, be quiet and get out. Oh. The Lord Jesus commands. What was he doing? He was cleaning the man, amen? He had an unclean spirit and he's cleaning the man. You know, it's very different to some of the things that happen today. I haven't been around a lot of these things. I've read some of them. I remember reading in some of the charismatic churches, for example, they have a big meeting and they do all this, and then they invite people to come forward and get all the demons out of them. You need to come forward. You've got a demon of anger. You've got a demon of envy. You've got a demon of jealousy. You come forward. We'll lay our hands on you. Pray for it. We'll get that demon out of you. Seriously. Now, it's true. Maybe some of them haven't got demons in them. But what they should be saying is, listen, if you've got an anger problem, you need to repent and get your heart right with God and get filled with the Spirit so you'll have love, joy, peace, gentleness, temperance. But come forward, we'll get the demon out of you of anger or the demon of jealousy or whatever. That is ridiculous. It's not scriptural at all. Yeah, we're casting out demons. Oh, please. Is any wonder why people look on and laugh and scoff and mock? Say, how stupid's that? What a joke. How foolish is that? So what's the Lord Jesus say? We don't need any of that. Get out. Get out. Get out of him. Come out. You see, the facts of the matter are this. A believer cannot be possessed with a demon. So these people who want to cast demons out of unsaved people, it's not even biblical. It's not biblical. We cannot be possessed by demons. No true believer can. You say, how do you know that? Well, I'll give you an example. Have a look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Notice first of all in verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Notice this verse, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do you think there's going to be room for a demon there? No. My body now is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You think a demon's going to be allowed to live inside God's temple? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, we know this, though, don't we? But we certainly can be attacked by demons. That is true. You don't have to be saved too long to find that out, that the Christian life is a battlefield, it's not a playground, it's a battleground. And Satan and his demons are going to do all they can to disrupt, destroy. Why? Because that's why he came, to destroy. Different kind of destruction, though. So, you don't have to be worried about a demon living in you, but you need to be concerned about the demons that come to attack you. So how do you deal with that? Well, one way is to put on the whole armour of God. That's what Paul said. We're wrestling not against principalities and powers and against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, wherefore put unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, then stand. Put on, etc. Loins, gird about with truth, etc., etc. If you're gonna defeat the demons that will come at you, you need the whole armour of God. It's not enough to have everything except a shield. It'd be like a soldier going off to war. And I left my gun behind, but that's all right. I got a big knife. I'll be able to deal with it. Yeah, and you'll get shot and killed straight away. I don't need to do this. I don't need to carry. If you're going out to battle, you better have all that you got there available for you. And so it is with us in the Christian life. We can't be possessed, but we sure can be attacked. We sure can get hammered a bit by the devil and the demons. What did the Lord say? Hold thy peace and come out of him. For that man to be made right, the demon had to go. He didn't say, well, listen, demon, if you mess up again, I'll be after you. I'll come back and get you. No, there's only one way to deal with it. Out. Out. It's a little bit like us, isn't it? You know, if we've got some sin in our life, some demon in our life, the only way to deal with it is out. Oh, well, I'm working at it. Stop working at it and get out. Tell it to get out. But, and here we go. But. Just a minute. Thus saith the Lord, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Yeah, but. Devil's already got you. Don't listen to the devil. Listen to what God's word says. Believe what God's word says. That's where the victory is. You know, we don't play with sin. It must go. I think Jim Berg said you need that kind of radical amputation that takes care of it. Well, was that verse continuing? When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Now, the old devil, he's got to have that one last go, doesn't he? He doesn't want to let go easy. He's got to have one last go. And the demon had one last go. He just didn't want to give up. Well, you say, that's interesting, isn't it? Why did the Lord Jesus allow that? He threw him in the midst and came out. Why did the Lord allow him to... How come he let that demon just throw him around like that before the demon came out? Well, it didn't hurt him, for starters. Okay. But I want to read something. I thought there was an interesting comment on it, so I thought I'd read it. Why did Christ allow the convulsion? Why did he not protect the man from keeping him from the convulsion? And the answer is that he permitted the convulsion, or this being thrown around, that there, firstly, that there might be clear evidence that the man was actually possessed by the evil spirit. Okay? This is no emotional problem or anything. This man has got a demon in him. You can tell by the exit process. And number two, that the anger of malice of the evil spirit might be shown. You know, they come as angels' lights, don't they? Oh, come on. Come on. What's a little bit here and there? And he said, number three, that it might be manifest that the unclean spirit came out, not of his own accord, but constrained and vanquished by Christ. Don't think you can do it in your own strength. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's only through the power and the grace of the God and the Lord Jesus. In verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves. What a word is this? They were amazed. The idea that has dumbfounded us, like, whoa. Whoa. With a word. What a word is this? Now, they'd been impressed by the way he'd been speaking and teaching the scripture, but now they see it alive and working in real life. The Lord speaks. His power and his authority. What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. It's like, wow, what a different man we have here. You ever thought that when someone gets saved? You know, they're really saved and they're really living for the Lord. It's like, wow, how did that happen? Why? Because the Lord cleaned them out and replaced with his own spirit, the earnest of the spirit. And that brings a wow. And by the way, as we know, only God, only the Lord Jesus can do that. And so in verse 37, the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And the news spreads quickly and spreads wide about what's happened. You find that sometimes, you know, you're talking to people, you say, do you know so? Oh, yeah, I know him. He goes to your church, doesn't he? Yeah. Okay. Right. I'm talking in a good sense now. Sometimes the other side, but... I was talking to someone from your church the other day, and they... Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Wow. Wow. Just in finishing, just knowing about the Lord Jesus is not enough. He knew. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. That's not enough. As David said this morning, it's not enough to believe in. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we bless you and praise you for this privilege and opportunity to gather around your word once again. And we're so thankful for our Lord Jesus. We're so thankful for what we see here, the importance and the doctrines of the word of God, that we can say, thus saith the Lord. And Lord, when we preach and teach the word of God, we find it can be quite amazing. Wow. They were going, wow, this is amazing. But Lord, I pray for each of us, Lord, we might not be just hearers but doers of your word. We want to give you thanks, we want to give you praise, and thank you, Lord, for all you've done, all you're doing. And Lord, we just bless you and praise you in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.